It's great to be here tonight. Now we were going to hear from the man of God, Pastor Nicholas from Grace Methodist Church. I can't wait to hear what the Lord is going to speak tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It is an honor and privilege. Yeah, we can take some of this stuff away. Not stuff over. You gotta watch the. I may knock some stuff over here. I already did it. Let's put this over here. Amen. Amen. Let's get ready to go down. Pray with me. Gracious and eternal God, our heavenly and merciful Father, Lord, we give you all the honor and praise that is due your holy name. For you alone are worthy of our praise and our adoration. Father, I rise now not on my own knowledge or my own strength or my own wisdom, Father, but I come here on a divine assignment, Lord, for you ordered this moment before the beginning of time, Father God. And Father, I ask that you would use me right now like you've never used me before. Father God, I ask that you would empty me out and replace me with you, Father God. For the people are hungry tonight, Lord. They are thirsty tonight, Lord. They need to hear a word from you, Father God. So either through me or in spite of me, Father God, have this word come through powerful and true. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, all those agreed said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Listen,
first, it is just my honor and privilege to be here tonight to bring a word to you on behalf of your pastor. Pastor Walker is a fine man of God, and you are just really blessed to have this pastor to be your pastor. And why don't we encourage him tonight before we get into this word? The group called the
Voices of Faith.
And I just want to say I was so blessed. Amen. Sometimes, you get to a place and when you're asked to speak somewhere and, you're just trying to hurry up everybody else so you can get up and talk so you can go on about your way. But, I was just enjoying the worship. I forgot. I said, you got to get up here and say something. Amen. Now, if we think about the image of pastors today in America and what we see going on in our communities, and sometimes I feel like the image of the pastor or the man of God has become a little distorted. I think that sometimes we have created an image where this man of God is going to be put up on a pedestal, that folks are supposed to serve him as opposed to the man of God being a servant to the people. Amen?
Amen.
I am so glad today that I would never come to preach at a church where that was going on.
Amen.
Amen. I get asked to go a lot of places and I don't always say yes.
Amen.
But I know this man and I know what God has placed in his heart. And he has a servant's heart, and it made me think about the whole conversation and the time of Samuel, Saul, and David. And if you would look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, and I'm coming out of this coat Amen. And if you look at that, we see that Samuel has been sent to Jesse's house. And at Jesse's house, he is to find the one that were to be the next king of Israel. And we enter into the story as Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10, it said, then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, am I right? Are we all right?
I'm trying to see you.
Y'all can hear me though, can't you?
Yeah, we're trying to record this.
Oh, okay.
We're going to move this here.
And he said, and Samuel said
to Jesse, "The Lord has chosen thee." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And see, it's interesting that when Samuel came to Jesse's house and they were going to celebrate this meal, they were going to have some time for worship, and he invited all of his sons, but he left one outside. Have you ever been in a situation where everybody else has been invited to the party and you have been left on the outside? But and so Jesse was so ambivalent towards his son David that when Samuel asked him, "Is there somebody else?" he said, "Yeah, there is one." He didn't even call him by his name. Have you ever been in a situation where you have been so ignored, so passed over, that folks did not even call your name? My God, my God. You know, sometimes in our communities today, because we are struggling with so much stuff going on with fathers and absentee fathers and all this other stuff, that sometimes our own fathers in the natural dimension, are you with me this evening, will not even recognize who we are. Won't even see that which God has planted in our spirits. And won't even consider, maybe consider all the other brothers and sisters that you may have, but maybe sometimes Father in the natural has not even recognized who you are. Amen. This was David's dilemma. And so David wasn't inside where all the action was. He was outside. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I've been outside before." And even when Samuel had challenged Jesse, Jesse didn't even invite the boy in. He just said, "Yeah, is there another boy?" "Yeah, there is one. He's outside." He didn't say, "Oh, let me go get. Oh, I forgot about, or I was wrong for not bringing David in to see the man of God." But he says, "Yeah, there is another one out there." And it was Samuel who said, "Go and get him, for we will not continue on with this party. Because I've been sent here on an assignment, and all the other boys that you have brought before me, while they're impressive, they're not the one." Turn to your neighbor and say, "They weren't the one." You see, a lot of times people will look good on the outside. Sometimes folks will have a lot of credentials. Sometimes they will have a lot of stuff, but they still may not be the one. And the world may want to choose them. But if God has not chosen them, they are not the one. And it's interesting what David was doing. It says that he was out there and he was keeping the sheep. Oh, to have a shepherd's heart. You see, to be one that is keeping the sheep shows that there's something in your spirit that is special, unique, and can be used by God. See, David was out there taking care of the sheep, which indicates that while Jesse and his house had some money to have sheep, they didn't have enough money to hire a shepherd.
Amen.
Hey, wait a minute. Amen. You see, caring for sheep, that was not a high class work. You didn't have to go to Roberts Wesleyan College and get all kinds of degrees in order to keep the sheep. Folks weren't clamoring and knocking on your door saying, "Can I come and take care of your sheep?" Taking care of sheep was a dirty job. It was a low job. And it was a job, if you had enough money, you would hire someone else to mess with those sheep so you wouldn't have to. But David, because daddy couldn't hire. Hello, someone to care for those sheep. He took that youngest boy, the one that he had dismissed, forgotten about, and put him out into the field to care for those sheep. But don't you know? And don't despise. You see, sometimes the world will put you in a bad position.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me this evening? Sometimes other folks may have better assignments in the natural than what you might have. Maybe they're in a situation where they're getting more acclaim. But let me tell you something, that there is a preparation season in the shepherd's field. There's a time. You see, sometimes if God has a destiny for you to eventually be a king, you got to go through the shepherd's field to go through a season of service. You see, the other seven boys weren't being prepared.
Praise.
Go
ahead.
To do anything great.
Amen.
So they weren't in. But David. And see, there's four really remarkable things about a shepherd that I see in this man, and I see in some men in this community, not enough, and we see in David. Number one, keeping the sheep was a servant's job, but David was an heir.
Amen.
What? See, you got to understand something. You see, God calls us to serve, but we are not servants.
Amen.
Watch this. You see, a servant whose servant is only doing what he has to do. But someone that is an heir, and aren't we who are the righteousness of God? Aren't we co-heirs to the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Don't we have an inheritance?
Yes.
Are you with me? But God, even though we're an heir,
amen,
he wants within our hearts,
yes,
and within our spirit, to have an attitude of a servant.
Yes.
See, those other boys weren't going to get that.
Yeah.
But David is an example of us,
amen,
who are heirs,
heirs,
but God is calling us to serve.
Yes.
See, that's why, you see, the enemy, you may think we always give the enemy credit for our bad fortunes.
Right.
See, I don't give the devil any credit for anything in my life. I don't know about you. And see, sometimes you can get stuck somewhere doing something you don't want to do with people you don't want to do it with and not getting anything for doing it. But I'm here to tell you that God has put you in that place. And stop praying to get out of it. Right. Do and let God do in you. In that season, you see, we always want to get out of stuff. And listen, God is doing a work in you. You see, you got to learn how to make your suffering count.
Amen.
See, if I'm going to go through something, I'm going to go through something and get something out of it on the other side. But if you're just belly aching and crying and complaining and then lifting up the devil, oh, the devil got me in this bad job. The devil got me doing this. And God is trying to perfect you. He's trying to shape you. He's trying to mold you.
Yes, he is.
And see, that'll change your whole outlook. And see, David understood this because the second thing about a keeper of the sheep is he had time to think.
Yes.
You see, meditate on them. You know, the shepherd had a lot of downtime. Because sometimes those sheep would just do nothing. But it's like a child. Just because your child is doing nothing doesn't mean you can just those leave them. You gotta keep watching. Are you with me tonight? And so David was out in that field, right? And now sometimes the sheep would be moving around and shepherds, yeah, they would have to go chase after them. But a lot of times, those sheep would just be doing that. Just like a lot of Christians do.
Ouch.
Right? Just sitting down. Just lying. Sitting down, laying down, grazing on the grass.
Go ahead.
But David was making that downtime count.
Yes.
And while he was in the field and in the midst of all of God's wonder and glory, you see, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to just got some go on a walk and just go and watch the see the voice. It's like springtime.
Yes.
And you just see just where there was just
king. Saul was your king. But the next king is going to be my king. And he's going to have a heart for me.
Amen.
And this is what David had in that shepherd's, and in, as a shepherd in that field.
Now the third thing is, in order to keep the sheep, you got to have a special heart and a special caring for all the sheep. Someone say all the sheep.
All the sheep.
You see, some sheep can get on your nerves. Right. And see, some sheep, see, we got to understand that sometimes some sheep get away. Sometimes some sheep run away. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, because you, when you're trying to shepherd some folk, and pastor will tell you, you know, you always got at least one or two or three or five or 16 or 40 that got their own ideas.
Yeah.
I know somebody. But you have to shepherd those as well.
Amen.
See, we like to just pour in to the good sheep. I love somebody.
Amen.
The sheep that will just do what we say. And the sheep that will just say, oh, pastor, you are just so, you're the finest pastor in Rochester. So, oh, those are sheep. But no, God has put some sheep in our lives. And some of these sheep are wandering sheep.
Yeah.
Some of these sheep are cantankerous sheep. Some of these sheep are mischievous sheep.
Yeah.
But a good shepherd cares for all the sheep.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this is what David was going on in David's heart. It reminds you, if you look at John chapter 10, verse 11. I just got a couple of them, then we'll be through. Jesus. You see, a lot of these preachers today, they want to be rock stars, but they don't want to be like Jesus.
Ouch.
See, you shouldn't want to ride in a Bentley if you're not willing to ride the bus. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
You know, it's a good shepherd. He said, John chapter 10, verse 11 says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Amen.
He'll give everything that he has so the sheep will be well. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. No ownership. No connection to the
Amen.
People.
Amen.
And so when the wolf comes, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But a good shepherd protects and cares for all of his sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
Amen.
And all other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice.
Yes.
And there will be one flock. Someone say one flock.
One flock.
And one shepherd.
One shepherd.
And therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father.
Amen.
You see, a good shepherd does what the owner of the field tells him to do.
Amen.
Shepherd doesn't have his own agenda. He doesn't do things his way. He does what the owner says. He says, this command I received from my Father, the owner. Therefore. And so this shepherd, this sheep, this heart of David was recognized by God. The fourth thing about keeping the sheep was, you see, Jesse lived in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a lot like Rochester. You see. See, there's a lot of sheep in Rochester. There's a lot of sheep in Bethlehem. But there were a lot of wolves in Bethlehem. Are you with me tonight? And see, there was a lot of creatures and stuff that were willing to prey upon the sheep. See, we got a lot of wolves walking around the streets right now. But watch this, though.
that he could only do the best that he could. See, I don't care how good a pastor you are, you can't see all the rules come.
And so
what you have to do is you have to trust and rely on God.
Amen.
He said, God, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to watch over my sheep day and night. I'm going to pour into them all that I have. But I know this, that I am only a shepherd. I am only a man. I am not God. And I cannot guarantee that all of these sheep will be saved. So God, will you do me this favor? Will you watch over the, will you come in when I have a shortcoming? Can you reach out past where I can reach? Can you chase after farther than I can run? Can you see further than I can see?
Amen.
And see, David understood this. And see, all this was in David, but being birthed out of David in that field. His father was hiding away. You go, good kid, you go deal with that. I got my other sons that we gonna do. We got the man of God coming to the house. But so David, we don't have time for you. We don't have room. Have you ever been in a situation where the world didn't have room for you? So, but God was positioning and preparing David. You see, the main thing of the man of God, a shepherd, leader, whatever you want to call him, you got to be humble. Without humility, you can't make it happen. See, God hates pride. Right? Are you with me tonight? And it was so good for David that his father in the natural had pushed him aside because in that season of being in the field, it developed some humility within his heart. You see, we know that Samuel was going to anoint him. And we know, because we've read ahead, right? We know what's going to happen with David. But don't jump to the David and Goliath thing and think that's the beginning of the story. Right? We think that's where David entered into the Bible, throwing rocks at Goliath and everything. And don't you understand? And see, and it gives us a distorted vision of our ministry or our calling or what God has for us in our lives. So we figure that as soon as God calls us to do something, he's going to put some five smooth stones in our path and we're going to go try to knock it off the line.
It don't work
like that. And so what we learn from David is the ABC. So your neighbor say ABC.
ABC.
The first A was anointing. When he was recognized by Samuel, the man of God, Samuel said to Jesse, and he said to David, there's the one. That's all he said. That's it. He's the one. The other seven, they weren't the one. They were good looking. They had all kinds of stuff going for them, but they weren't the one. But something left in the man of God's spirit, Samuel, and when he laid eyes upon David, he said, that's the one. Don't you know that some man of God or woman of God has looked upon you and the Spirit of God has spoken to somebody and said about you, you're the one? That God has something fabulous, supernatural, life-changing